Okay, we are discussing the idea of tzimis, of wholesomeness. And we're discussing this idea of this inner wholesomeness that from the soul that precedes all the complexities that are in life. And the only way we can really get in touch with Hashem is by dealing and finding that wholesomeness. So he begins to give an example to explain this idea of the concept of the fool won't understand things, and he says we really are all fools in terms of God's infinite knowledge. He talks about the concept of why people don't seem to get into Tehillim, and then he's going to give a practical example of this. And now we're on the top of page Tzadiches. L'dugma, for example, in boim la'odim u'mavakshim imenu li'zyashiv chatzi shav u'loimer pirkei Tehillim. If you go over to a person, you ask him to sit down for a half an hour and say Tehillim. What is a person thinking? Miyadu choshev la'atzma, he immediately thinks to himself, Nunu, ma yetze me'atilim she'omer. Nu, what's going to come out of the Tehillim I'm going to say? What am I going to gain from this? What am I going to accomplish? You know what I'd rather do? Alameit gemora be'iyun be'oimek achadesh marochos. Let me learn gemora in depth. I will come up with new concepts in the Gemara. I'll come up with ideas. I'll come up with systems. I'll accomplish something. But what am I going to get out of Tehillim? What am I going to accomplish from saying Tehillim? Omar besacha kol kama milim. I'm going to say at the end a bunch of words. Kama psukim, a bunch of verses. I'm not going to get anything out of it at the end. Nothing will have been gained. I won't be any smarter from saying the Tehillim. That is a typical response that people have to the recitation of Tehillim. So, heichan munachas nekudas hatos b'machshava kazu. Where lies the point of error in such thought? So he says, and here's a very important point, the main point of this chapter. Hatos ne'utza bekach shechoishvim shehahaskola gevoa yoser me'atmimus. The mistake stems from the fact that people think that intelligence is more important than tamimis. Intelligence is more important than wholesomeness. Avala MSE, but the truth is, shehatmimis gevoa lein erach minyan haskola. The truth is the opposite, that wholesomeness is way beyond measure from any amount of intellect. And he's going to explain this. But that's the key line that you're going to get out of this chapter here. Yeshnam anoshim shenir lahem shatmimis himidas she'ena tova. A lot of people think that this idea of tmimis is not such a great characteristic, because they're looking at it as simple as in dumb. This is the external view. The truth is there's no greater quality than this. Yaakov Avinu, shehu bechir ha'avos. Our patriarch Yaakov, who is the premier of the apex of the patriarchs. Nikra ish tam. He was called an ish tam, a wholesome person. Ki keshet mimus mistabekes balufei shel olam. When you're able to have this simplicity attach itself to the ruler of the world, it turns into the truth. In other words, the wholesomeness enables you to reach the next step, which is truth, when that wholesomeness is connected to God. In other words, when the person comes to God with a simplistic, non-complicated way of having a relationship, so your relationship is able to connect with God, and then the truth of God is able to attach itself to you. You're able to attach yourself to Hashem, whose seal is truth. But simplicity that's disconnected from the Creator, that's a simplicity that's not worthwhile. But tmimus that comes out of a recognition that there is a creator. And it comes from the recognition that really a person does not have the ability to understand his creator. And you realize that the creator is way more sophisticated than you are. And what you know is nothing compared to him. Once you get that, Zohi midas ha'emes ha'mitis shal shma nikra Torah Torah's emes. This is the true characteristic that through it, the Torah is called the true Torah. In other words, the Torah that you will learn will become true Torah, which he's going to get to in a moment. So there, what he is saying is that we seem to complicate our lives. We complicate who we are and what we're able to do. And with all those complications, we're not able to connect to Hashem. But if a person looks at things and realizes that, you know what? I really, no matter what I know, I don't know anything. I don't know very much compared to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the only way I'm going to ever become anything is by attaching myself to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and letting him make all the complicated calculations and not me. Then you're able to attach yourself to Hashem and finally acquire some bit of ultimate truth. Now he still has to give you the practical application to this, but right away you see how it applies to Tehillim. Person figures, what did I gain by saying Tehillim? I didn't get anything. If I sit and learn a Daf Gemara, now I accomplished something. One more page learned. And what he's saying is that that's not what's going to do it. Because one more page is just one more page away from the infinite. So you're still very far away. Are you any closer? Okay, one page closer. But you're never going to get to the ultimate. Now that doesn't excuse yourself for not learning. And we'll see what context learning has to come from, which he's going to develop. But one thing's for sure, when you say your Tehillim, you're putting your trust and faith in Hashem. You're uncomplicating life, and you're going directly to the source, which is Hashem. And that connects you to Hashem. And when you're connected to Hashem, then you're able to finally get to the real truth in life. And he has to add a few more points for this to become abundantly clear, which he hasn't yet provided for us. So let's just move on. But that's what he's saying. Person feels, what did I gain by saying Tehillim? And then there's others, what did I gain by doing a chesed? I have to gain by the things that I think are worth something. And the truth is, what's worth something is this wholesomeness which connects you to Hashem. Not all intellect connects you to Hashem. And that's what he's going to show you very soon. Now, b'makom lahamid ashi'ivas ha'nefesh rak lahasig ha'sichlus, in the play lahasig chidudim, instead of a person, we're talking about ambitions we talked about last week. So the point that he's saying is we could have misdirected ambitions even in a spiritual way. So if you have ambitions that are to achieve intelligence and to understand sharpness and to know, that's a good vort. I got a good vort here. I got a good vort there. I have a masechta here. So instead of having a drive for that, tzarech gam, or rather, instead of only driving for that, tzarech gam lemoked es hashaif alios yehudi tamim be'emes. The person has to instill within himself the drive to be a wholesome Jew, a true wholesome Jew. As the pasuk says, tamim tia im Hashem lokecha. Go with wholesomeness with Hashem. Be wholesome with Hashem. So over there it talks about, the practical halachic application is you don't, go to a stargazer and tell them to tell you what to predict, how the outcome is going to be tomorrow of your, business meeting and how's the war going to go and these things, what to bet on the racetrack. Just go with Hashem. You don't have to know everything in advance. And this is a big problem. We all want to be able to plot our future. We all want to be able to know what the next 20 years is going to bring. And many people live their lives that way. They say, okay, and many parents do that for kids when the kids are just born. I say, okay, my kid's going to go to this preschool and to this school and then to this university, and he's going to get this job, and we've got it all lined up, So what you've done is you've complicated life. Complicated life because you've put all your ideas in the mesh and you haven't thought for a minute, okay, what's going to get me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And that's what frustrates life when Hashem doesn't let you make the plans go the way you plan them. And why do you think that happens? He does that bedafka. For you to finally get the message that you're not in control and you should stop complicating things. We always are worrying, what's going to be if this happens? What's going to be if that happens? What if Chas v'Shalom this one? What are you worrying about? whatever is going to be is what's supposed to be. Why don't you just say, Hashem, whatever you send is going to be fine with me. Now, of course, there's an aspect of davening for things. And you know, God wants you to figure out, well, what do you think might be a good way of serving Hashem? But at the end of the day, you have to say, listen, but whatever you do, Hashem is fine. And I'm not going to worry. That's the point. Once you daven, then there's nothing more to worry about. You said your piece. Okay, now Hashem, I leave it up to you to decide what's the best thing for me. But when we don't do that, right, we keep trying to figure out, I know what's best for me, and I'm going to, and quite often we don't know what's best for us. And more often, remember, we know we don't know anything, right? Once you know that you're an idiot, you know, and that your knowledge to Hashem is nothing, so what are you telling him, you know, what to do already? You know, he knows what's the right thing. I mean, there's certain things from the Torah's teaching us are the things we should ask for. You know, people davening to be rich. So what are you davening to be rich for? Do you know if that's going to be good for you? Do you even know who you are? Hashem created you. He knows exactly what's going to be for you. And Chazal tell us that wealth is a too big of a test for most people to handle. And yet we're all running after it. So, if you really don't know what's best for you, so why don't you let Hashem direct the traffic, and your davening is to try to stay connected to Him and not fall off the roller coaster while you're on the roller coaster. That's what you're really trying to accomplish with davening. That's what He said in the book. Primary reason versus supplementary reason. The main reason you daven is to stay connected to Hashem, and if you stay connected to Hashem, you don't fall off the rails while God's taking you all around. As long as you can stay on, then you're okay. That's all you need to do is to stay on. Okay, now you might get a supplementary benefit. He may even listen to what you have to say from time to time. But that's not the main goal. Somebody is sick. You say to him. Of course you say to him. Because that's the Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is you try to do what you can to save a person's life. And davening to Hashem is a method no less important than going to the doctor. When you daven to Hashem, Hashem, your Ratzon is that people should live. And, you know, we're going with what your general Ratzon is. If your Ratzon is this particular person should die, okay, I give in to what you want. I won't argue. But I have to do what I have to do. If you see a person collapse in the street, you have to go and give medical attention because Torah says you have to. Notwithstanding if God knows the person's going to die anyway. What are you going to say? Well, you know, the way I size it up, I think God wants the person to die, so I'm not going to do anything. You can't do that. You have to say, the Torah says life is important. From my perspective, I have to do what I can to keep the person alive. If Hashem wants to kill the person, that's his business, not my business. My business is to do what the Torah says. And if Hashem decides the person has to leave, the person has to leave. So when you daven, davening is no less important than giving them medical attention. Davening creates all kinds of positive energies that can have the person live. So okay, I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do as well. But if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. So this wholesomeness, that's what he's saying. Tmimus mevil dveikus v'Hashem yisparach. This tmimus, this wholesomeness brings you in touch with Hashem and with His attribute of truth. That's the critical point over here. And therefore, the she'ifa, the yearning, should be to be wholesome and not complicated, and the yearning should not be merely to be an intellectual. Yes, Sam?
How do I know this is a decision that's mine, and how do I know this decision is because I pray to Hashem? I still make a decision, and I don't know because the answer is not there, and Hashem does not as yet speak to me directly. I know I'm talking to Hashem, I know I pray to Him, but if I make a decision, it's my decision. How do I know it's the correct decision?
Okay, so Sam is asking, when we make decisions in life, how do we know our decisions are the right decisions? What was the other point you said?
Hashem does not speak to me every Hashem day. I speak to Hashem, but I don't okay. get the, I know I'm alive and I get up in the morning and my soul functions and my, okay.
So what kind of decision? Okay.
The decisions that I make are still mine.
Okay, what kind of decision are you talking about?
Every decision. To come to shul this morning. To go back home and to do whatever I need to do. To turn on the
okay.
Your decision
to come, well, okay, so there's differences. We're going back to the first book again. The first book says that mundane decisions are really God's decisions.
Right.
Like which package of noodles you're going to buy, Hashem really is deciding it. He's deciding which furniture you buy. Hashem is deciding by creating a taste in your mind.
Sending the kids to school. That's a major decision.
Okay, so
you
so
say we shouldn't plan the schooling. What plan? I don't understand this. We plan.
No,
or we don't
I'm
plan.
Saying.
Make
you know, first of all, you don't plan when they're born because you at least wait 3 years till they're ready to go to school.
Wait 3 years.
Okay, and you never know what's going to happen in 3 years.
Fine.
Right?
Okay.
And then what you do is you have to consult the wisdom that comes from the Torah that will tell you which school to send the child to.
Okay, but it's still my decision.
Well, no. At this point, your decision has to be, I have to go to God for him to tell me which one to go to. And guess what? God manifests himself through the righteous people who understand his Torah and how to apply it in your decisions in life.
But when I make that decision, do I know that's God's decision or mine?
No, a Yiras Shamayim decision are your decisions. So here's the question. Do you decide to go to a rabbi and ask for his advice where your child should go, or do you not decide? That's a Yiras Shamayim decision, and that's
right.
Your decision.
The rabbi tells me to do this and this.
And the rabbi analyzes it. He davens to Hashem. He asks for siyata d'shmaya. And then this becomes the decision that's the ratzon Hashem. So you're working in tandem. You're working in tandem. Sometimes it's a very obvious decision. And most often it's an obvious decision. Not obvious to the one who's asking it, but to the one who's being asked, it's an obvious decision. Right? And the ratzon Hashem is quite often clear. It's quite often clear. Sometimes it's not clear. Then you daven to Hashem that you come to the right understanding. But the Torah gives you many guidelines. Should you decide to go to shul today or not? What do you mean, should you decide? Of course you have to go to shul today, right?
But it's my decision.
So now you are making a Yiras Shamayim decision. Do you want to listen to God or not? That's your decision. Do you want to listen to Hashem or not? Yes. So you came to shul. Very good. Pat you on the back. So you made the right decision. Because the Torah says you have to daven in a minyan 3 times a day. The Torah says that. So how could it not be the right decision? You go to the doctor, your throat is killing you, you have a fever 103, the doctor takes a swab, he comes back and says you have strep throat, and he says you're going to take penicillin or whatever. How do you know it was the right decision? That's right. So the Torah tells you you have to daven 3 times a day in a minyan. And God says, I am, it says in Sefer Shmos, I am your doctor. Right?
Why bother going to Job?
Why bother? Because God says you have to do what is normal to heal. God says you have to heal yourself. God says you have to heal yourself. How am I going to heal myself? I don't know anything about medicine. Go to a doctor who knows how to heal you. And that becomes the ratzon Hashem, to go to the doctor.
Hashem tells me to go and heal myself.
That's right. Now
it's
do the.
Not because I hurt, I go to Jobit. Because Hashem told me to go and heal myself.
That's right.
Okay.
Now, Hashem says Sam Polster has to make sure that there is this person called Sam Polster who lives as long as God wants him to live. Who is in charge of Sam Polster? No, you're not. No, you're not, because God wants you to make the effort necessary to keep yourself alive. This is called hishtadlus, it's called effort. Why do you go to work? God's going to decide how much you're going to make. God said, I want you to go through the motions of accomplishing the things that I want you to have in this world. I want you to make a parnasa. I want you to live. So this is the ratzon Hashem. Why am I going to work? For one reason. It's the ratzon Hashem. Why am I going to the doctor? Because it's the ratzon Hashem. That's what God tells me how to live my life. And I'm doing the ratzon Hashem to connect me to Hashem. By going to the doctor, by going to work, this is connecting me to Hashem because I'm doing what Hashem wants me to do.
What work do I go to? Whose decision is that?
Okay, then it depends on everybody. It depends on what you're good at. Depends on what you think you can do. It depends on what the Torah allows you to go to. Part of it, well, Hashem puts in your mind the things that you want to do. It's half and half. God will give you, let's say, an affinity towards math. You're good at math. You're really good at, you have a good head for math and a good head for business, understanding of commerce, whatever. It goes easy. Okay, so it makes sense to be an accountant, let's say. Okay. So God has already made the decision by putting in your mind your desire to go in a certain direction. That's what you're born with, that feeling. So part of that is God. But then you have to decide which company to work for. One company is going to offer you $250,000 a year if you work on Shabbos and Yantav every day of the week. The other one's only going to offer you $60,000, but that means you don't work on Shabbos, you don't work on Yantav. Now you have to make a spiritual decision as to which company you're going to work with. So there's a balance between what God has already decided and what you are going to have to decide. And that's the way it's meant to work. It's a partnership. God gives you a certain proclivity to make certain decisions. Those decisions don't have to be bad decisions. Your Yerushalayim decisions will decide if these are good or bad decisions. Being an accountant can be a Kiddush Hashem, it can be a Chilul Hashem. Right? So where does that difference lie? In your decision. You know, God made it that, you know, that you're not going to be a Torah scholar. He made it. You don't have it, what it takes to be a teacher of Torah. You don't have the skills. You don't have the ability. Right? So that's, but God did give you a very good understanding of finance. That's a God-given talent. So you go with the God-given talents that He gives you and now use it in the way, with your free will choice, that is the way that will make this world a better place and will make you a better Eved Hashem. And you're not necessarily going to be a better Eved Hashem by insisting that you're going to be the teacher of Torah when God has already showed you that you're better off being an accountant. Right? That's when we complicate things and we don't go with, you know, just look at yourself and see what has Hashem made you already. And from that starting point, don't try to go against the way Hashem's created you and then say, okay, now what will I choose based on who and what I have been given from my Kodesh Baruch Hu? So that's the simplicity. Go with what Hashem is directing you. He's made you go in. You see He's directing you in this way. You see He's made you good in this and not good in that. So now, why are you fighting it? Why are you fighting it? This is the Ratzon Hashem. But that's the problem. We don't accept the Ratzon Hashem. We complicate things. Well, I see so-and-so is like that. I see so-and-so is like that. So I should be like that. To which Hashem says, but I didn't make you like so-and-so. So why don't you just be like the way you're supposed to be? You know, I tell a story with the Brisker Rav. There was a guy who was a very wealthy fellow. Very wealthy fellow. But was extremely stingy. He never gave any tzedakah. Very minimal, barely nothing. So comes comes Yom Kippur, and davening's over after Kol Nidre, and the rich guy's staying in shul, and his mom is, she's saying Tehillim, and he's going for a few hours after most people have left. So the Brisker Rav goes over to the rich man and says, I want to ask you a question. You're a smart man. Let me ask you, if somebody was in the army and they would, in the middle of the war, decide to leave, what would the commander-in-chief do to such a guy? What do you mean? Punish him. He'd punish him for sure. He wasn't supposed to leave. What if the guy in the middle of the war, when he's in the cavalry, in the middle of the war, he says, I'm going to leave the cavalry and I'm going to go into the infantry division. He's still fighting. What would the commander in chief do? He'd punish him the same way. He says, why? Because the commander said, I want you to be here and I don't want you to be there. And the commander understands it's important we have so many people in the cavalry and not so many in the infantry or whatever. You're messing up the plans. So the Brisker Rav turns to the rich guy and says, you're that person. Why? Because God made you a rich man. And by making you a rich man, you have one job to do in His army, give tzedakah. He doesn't need you to say Tehillim. He needs you to give tzedakah. Why'd you leave your post and go somewhere else? He needs the people who don't have money to say the Tehillim. Those are the ones who are going to say the Tehillim. And you're the one who's supposed to give the tzedakah. Right? So, not to say that no one, that he shouldn't say any Tehillim. But you have a job. Hashem gives you a job. So do it for goodness sake. Okay? Use your free will choice to do it in the way that Hashem wants you to do it. Right? And that's how you make your choices in life. That's how you make your choices in life. So getting back to here. So, you know, God said, you know, what you want to be a spiritual person. So now you got a choice. Say Tehillim or learn some more Gemara. So why don't you know, I'm of course supposed to learn Gemara. Supposed to. That's one of your jobs. But your job is also to connect to Hashem. And you're not going to connect to Hashem by just learning Gemara. If you just learn Gemara, that's not going to connect you to Hashem. You have to learn Gemara in a way that connects you to Hashem, which he'll discuss. But if your yearnings, your ambition, is just to be an intellect, that's not going to make you a spiritual person. There's many intellects who are not spiritual at all. Your ambition has to be to cleave to Kadosh Baruch Hu. And then we can deal with the intellect. And that's what he continues four lines from the bottom. Kol zman she'ikra hashifa b'nefeshi rak lahasig hasichlus. As long as a person's primary ambition is to just achieve intellect, umargishim aminim shizu shlemus, and they sense and believe that that is perfection. Alulim la'avid istachas chaim, they're liable to lose the goal of life. If you think my goal in life is to be a Talmudic scholar exclusively and nothing else, most likely you're not going to fulfill your purpose in life. Right? And that's what he says. The pasuk says, "Vatem advekim v'Hashem elkeichem chayim kuchem ayom." You are all attached to Hashem, your God, and now you're all alive today. As we've said, "Achayim amitim zu advekus barayom." True life is clinging to Hashem. V'atzur yichido la'gi elakach. And what's the only way to get to this clinging to God, Sarites, it comes through the verse that says, be wholesome with Hashem, your God. If you want to be with Hashem, you have to be tamim. See, in other words, tamim tia im Hashem. How can you be im Hashem? Im tamim tia. If you're wholesome, then you're with Hashem. You're not wholesome, you're not with Hashem. And then when you're with Hashem, okay, then you can become davuk to Hashem, then you can be clinging to Hashem, and that is ultimate life. So this is this idea of not complicating the affairs of life. And life is not meant to be so complicated. Even if it appears to be complicated, it's still not that complicated. There are ways to say, okay, what is the bigger will of Hashem? That's all you gotta figure out. Right? Like we talked before. You can go to a wedding or you could be learning Torah. So you got to ask yourself, what does Hashem want me to do more? You're not sure? So ask a shiloh. They'll tell you the answer. And that's it. It's very simple. People who agonize for hours and hours and hours over making big decisions, you're wasting your time. The answer, it's a simple answer. Just go to somebody and they'll give you the answer. It's there. The Torah is thought of every situation imaginable. You think God hasn't figured out what you should be doing now? Just find out the answer. You know, people can agonize for weeks and weeks and weeks. Just go to someone who can give you the answer. You'll get the answer. Finished. Problem is, but we really have our own agendas. And since I have my own agenda, how can I get the will of God to fit into my agenda? You know, I've got to get it to fit into my agenda. And that's what takes us so long. We're trying to twist the Hashem's will to fit into my will. And that takes a long time to figure out how to make that happen. Right? If you just say, I have no will here except God's will. So forget about what I want to do. Just what does Hashem want me to do? The answer becomes very simple. Yeah, but if I do the way God says, it doesn't look like my goals are going to be reached. So who cares about that? Yeah, but if I do this, you know, what's going to be with my parnasa? Just don't worry about it. Hashem will take care of it. Let him worry about it. The person's will is to make millions of dollars. That's his will. He wants to have a glorious lifestyle. That's his will. Torah says you can't work on Shabbos. Torah says you can't cheat in business. So I gotta figure out, okay, how can I legally cheat in business and not go against God's will? You know, so to try to figure out ways. How can I somehow work on Shabbos and not go against God's will? You know, I'll just go in the store, but I won't do any of the 39 prohibited activities. Yeah. You just can't walk into the store. Finished. That's the will of God. But I'm not going to be a millionaire. So maybe that's the will of God. So let go of what you want. Be simple. And Hashem obviously doesn't want you to be a millionaire, let's say. So then that keeps life simple, and that's how you get close to Hashem. But if you're going to distort the religion to suit your needs, you're not getting close to Hashem. That doesn't get you close to Hashem. Okay, with this he explains another thing. He still hasn't gotten to the main thing yet. It's still coming up on the next page. It's going to come. It's going to come. But now he goes to another, like, side point that is relevant to this. It's called Es Vahev Vesufa. That's a pasuk in the Torah, which I'm not going to bother to go into the details of explaining it, but he'll give you the lesson of what comes out of it. How does life go in this world? Two people meet each other. If they both have merited to taste a little bit of the taste of Torah, so one asks the other, what are you learning? They come up with new ideas, they discuss Torah, and they go back and forth in a Torah discussion. Two people sit down, okay, you know, what do you know about a ganef? What do you know about stealing? You're learning about that? Yeah, learning about stealing. What about an armed robber? And then they start discussing, going back and forth, discussing what about this case, what about that case. They're learning Torah. Now, how's that supposed to look when two people learn Torah? What's the way the Torah says it should look like? Hatzura mitis shichel yeshoyne ma'at. So the true image should be a little bit different. Chazal omrim, the rabbis teach us the following. Even a father and son who generally should have an affinity towards each other. Harav etalmido, a rav and his student. She'oskim betorah, bishar echad. When they're learning Torah in one gate, in one area. They're learning Torah together. During the course of the learning, nasim oivim zezet, they become enemies one to each other. They become enemies while they're learning. Ve'enim zazim yisham, and they don't leave their situation. Achinasim ovim says, until they become those who love each other. Shenemar es vaheva sufa, that's the pasuk we quoted, al tikr besufa ela besofa, until the end. And they make certain deductions, meaning to say, until at the end you're loving each other. In other words, what's he saying? When you're learning Torah, there's only one thing you want to accomplish when the two of you are learning Torah. What is the truth? What is the God's understanding of what the halacha should be? You want to come? What is the real truth? You know, a guy who goes to a bank and holds up the entire bank, is that a ganef or is that a goslin? Right? Using what we learned last night. Right? Okay, and we could say, you know, I think it's this way, I think it's that way. We already explained how there's different ways to look at it. When you come to the table and you start discussing this issue, what's the way it's supposed to be, and what's the way it unfortunately sometimes is different? Person says, I think it's this. Okay, I think it's this. Now ready, my reputation is on the line to make sure that what I thought is correct. The other guy says, no, I think it's that. Now I got two egos going to fight it out to decide who's the winner. Right? You know, you have this certainly not in Torah. Well, you know, like one of the silliest things people do, and a lot of people do this, is people sit down and start talking politics. Everyone shows what kind of expert they are in political analysis. You know, and they're arguing it out. You know, I think this is going to happen. I think that. I think, you know, he's destroying the country. He's not destroying. You know, you can argue all day long, but what's the main point? I want to show you how smart I am, and I'm smarter than you. And unfortunately, in Torah, sometimes it's the same way. Person says, you know, I thought this way, you thought that way. Okay, I'm going to show you how smart I am to prove my point. So those people, they become enemies during the learning, and they become enemies after the learning. Because even if I prove to you that I was right, now you hate me because that I showed you up. And if you prove to me that you were right, I hate you because you showed me up. And most likely, neither of us will agree with anybody's opinion and walk out still arguing with each other. When you're learning Torah, it works a little differently. You're learning Torah, one purpose. What is the truth? Now, I might be fortunate that my understanding is the truth, but I equally know my understanding could not be the truth. And my friend's opinion could be maybe the truth and mine's not. So how do we achieve the truth? We have to see all sides. So Hashem has given me the understanding to see one side. He's given my friend the understanding to see the other side. And my job is to bring forth my side of understanding as forcefully as possible. and so is my friend's job to do that. So while we're doing that, we'll fight each other like enemies. And I'll do what I can to prove my point, and he'll do what he can to prove his point. I'll do what I can to disprove his point. Why? Not because it's my ego that's involved, but it's because we're trying to find the truth. Now, guess what? We can get to a point where we're not sure, when he says something that makes sense, that's not like my opinion, I can give in to it. Why? Because it's the truth is what matters. So when we leave, we'll be friends. In other words, we're enemies insofar as we don't chas v'shalom want the false answer to come out. So obviously Hashem has provided me with one way of understanding, my friend another way. Could be the answer somewhere there, or maybe somewhere in between. And we're tenaciously fighting for the truth. And I have to think that perhaps my way is the truth, and I have to cultivate my opinion. And I have to attack the other opinion, because maybe the opinion's not the truth. And therefore, we're enemies insofar as we want to find the truth. Not from our egos. But when we walk out, we're buddies. Right? A father and son, they love each other. The son says, I think he's a ganav, for this reason. The father says, I think he's a goslin, for that reason. So what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. It's got to be this way, it's got to be that way. This is our argument. They're enemies. Because they want to find out the truth. At the end, they got to let logic prevail and honesty prevail and say, you know what? Yitaka, you're right. Yeah. The guy says, I have a proof from a Gemara here, I have a proof from there. Yitaka, you're right. Okay, so I guess you were right. Fine. So now we came out to the truth. My opinion is no longer opinion anymore. Now we have proven that my opinion isn't good and yours is good. Now we know the truth. Now we're friends. That's the way it's supposed to be. But what do our eyes see? The first part, what the rabbis say, being enemies, that does often happen. But the second part not always comes true. So where does this come from? Where does it come from that even when we're learning, we become enemies with each other at the end? So he says, the power to understand and to extrapolate and to weave complex Talmudic webs of understanding. Nukudas hadas hamavdelis, this point of raw intellect, yotzeres esapir, that can create divisiveness. Vatmimis, but the wholesomeness, yotzeres nukudas achdus, can provide the point of unity. Meaning to say, if a person is going to speak to his friend about learning, if his mind and soul are only thinking of the subject matter and not the wholesomeness, if we're only approaching this intellectually but not from a wholesome point of view, it's hard to fulfill the last product of they don't leave each other until they're friends. It's hard to reach that. Because when we're looking at just in terms of intellect, what's the intellectual answer? We're not learning it necessary to get close to Hashem. So then it's my opinion versus your opinion. But if the main central point of the soul, when it's alive and activated, is this true wholesomeness. And the sharp argument that we're involved in is for only one purpose, to get to the truth of what God's wisdom is. So it can come from the point of divisiveness, that's the point of intellect, can you react to the point of unity. In other words, any intellectual sparring will create different opinions, which is a lack of unity. But if the only reason I'm sparring is to understand how to know what God's Torah is and to get to the truth, and by the more I know about God's Torah, the closer I am to Hashem, then I know that difference of opinion is only tentative. And it's meant to give way that both of us have to come to the truth. And our goal is that both of us come to the truth. And I may not have the truth. And then they walk away as friends, because now we've come to the understanding of what the truth is. Right? That's the main way of achieving this. Okay, so now he set us up that tomorrow morning he will get to the main point of this intellect versus tmimis. And you'll see how this makes a lot of sense. And then you're going to see what kind of Torah you should be learning, what kind of school you should be sending your kids to, this is where the main point comes out. Mirtz Hashem, tomorrow morning we'll get there. Bottom of page, Sadi Tess.